Bible this morning, or if you have your own Bible with you, that's great, to the book of Acts. We know that Acts is where the early church got its start, and so we're going to turn there this morning. And my message in this third sermon is love by giving. Now, most of you are going to attach that to money, but I'm not going to attach it to that this morning. It's way different than what you might think how this will come out this morning. And so I'm going to challenge you in some other areas of your life of what that looks like today. And so how do we love our church well? And this is an area we do by giving. And what does God expect from us in our giving? And so follow along with me. It's verses 32 through 35. And the title of this passage or this group is "The Believers Share Their Possessions." All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. The word of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by your word this morning that you teach us. It's by your word that we learn and we grow in our faith. And Lord, it's by the Spirit that brings that word to life. And so, Lord, may you teach us through your Spirit this morning what you have for us today. May these words be your words, never mine. I pray that you fill me with your Spirit as I bring your message to your people. And Lord, I also pray today that for those that have gathered here or watching online, that that same Spirit will fill those people as well, your people. Lord, and may you teach them your ways. So I pray that you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls today. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I got another sermon prop for you this morning that I want to share with you. This is a box, and I got a question for you this morning. How many of you have a box, or some people call it a hope chest, or an area that you keep things that are important to you as an individual, either your family or you or an heirloom or something that you have in your house? Do any of you keep that kind of a thing? And I'm not saying you're hoarders, by the way, either. All right? Just a few of you do. Okay, so here's what I want you to think about as I go through this morning. I have a box of stuff, and Dory, she laughs at me once in a while that I keep my box of stuff here. But it's got things that are important to me that I've had or encountered throughout life. And so I give you an example. I have every obituary that somebody's passed away in my family. The last one is my Aunt Joanne, who passed away here about a month ago from Hall, Iowa, but I have my grandparents' obituaries, some of my aunts and uncles, a few of my cousins, and I keep them in this box. And once in a while, I hope to pass this on to my boys or my grandkids to talk about and see about my family. I also have a Father's Day card here from my boys when they were little. And I kept all those types of things throughout the years. And of course, it says, "Thank you for being the best dad." And they know that I kept all this stuff, and I keep this in my box of stuff. I also have an anniversary card here from my wife. And believe it or not, when we were dating, Dora used to send me a card every week. Of course, this is before we had email and stuff like that. So I kept every card. I still have it in this box right here. And I figured out after a while that she loved me. So... which is pretty good. So, but she sent me a card every week. I get a card in the mail from her. And, of course, she lived in Sioux Falls. I was over by Lester, and throughout the week it was busy for me. And so I'd date and see her on Friday and Saturday nights, and sometimes on Sundays, and as our relationship grew. But she sent me a card every week. That's in this box. I have a book of the Horseman family tree, with the different pictures of people throughout the years in it of my dad's family. I have a Vinmonen book on my mom's side that I don't have in here because it's sitting on our nightstand of all our extended family and relation and relatives. But things that are important to me that I hope to pass along to my family down the road. And so what I want you to think about this morning, in this message that I'm going to share with you, the early church, they saved things, they prepared, they planned for the needs of the people in the church. So when there was need, they could fill that need. And so this box gives you a little bit of an idea of maybe how should we do that as a church. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. So what does God mean when he wants us to give? How should we do that? And what should that look like? And so I'm going to turn to the next slide here. And here's kind of your box of stuff. I want you to think about your box this morning as it pertains to your family. And then I want you to think about, what kind of a box do I keep to help the people that I live with in the community and the church that you're a part of? And what does God expect from me to put in this box that I can utilize for others around me? And so we're going to talk about this morning, about giving. And I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes you might put something in the box that could be a sacrifice, right? Now, I don't have any expensive jewelry or anything like that in my box, but maybe you do. Maybe it's some kind of a heirloom that you got from your great-grandmother and you're hanging on to this gold ring or whatever, and you don't wear it, you don't use it, but you keep it there for future generations. And I want you to think about the sacrifice that you might be making in those situations as you go through this morning, because what I'm going to ask you to do in your faith walk, as it pertains to you as being a member in the body of Christ, is that there's going to be times when you're going to need to sacrifice in your life for your people, for your church. And what does that look like this morning? But here's where I think a lot of us get caught up. How many of you remember the movie Finding Nemo? Yeah, I remember that. Do you remember the scene where all the seagulls, and I think Nemo came out of a downspout or something like that, and he's flying through the air, and all these seagulls are yelling, "Mine, mine, 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 mine." You remember that clip in there with that? And so a lot of times I think that Christians, we get this mentality that the stuff that we have, that it's ours. It all belongs to us, right? We've earned it. We've worked for it. It's all ours. And so we get the mentality that it's mine, 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 mine. But if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, whose is it? A little louder? It's all God's, right? And I think we have to have a perspective on that in our lives as we live this morning. And so this is part of where I want to go. Christians, believers in Christ, we are not to be mine, mine, mine people. That's not who God wants us to be as we live our lives. And so when it comes to possessions, the first church knew how to help one another and to love one another well in the way that they lived their lives and the way that they shared their possessions. And you've seen that in scriptures. We read that this morning. But I wonder, how long did it take for somebody to decide, you know what? I don't want to give it all to God. I want to keep part of it for myself. And if you know your Bible well, you can go to chapter 5 and reread chapter 4 at the end. And chapter 5 gives us the next story. And I'll touch on that in just a little bit. So I wonder, are we holding on to things too tightly in our faith walk with Christ? Because sometimes I wonder if God sees us and we start talking about our stuff and thinking about all the things that we can produce or make or build or whatever, that he sees in our idea of our mentality that we are mine, mine, mine people in our lives. If we are to love our church well, you need to be able to give well. And I'm talking from a spiritual aspect in your life. You need to give well if you're going to love well. And so there are three principles that I want to share with you this morning that the early church did, and they did well, that helped them learn to do this. And so here's the three things that I'm going to share with you this morning, and we'll go through them, so don't worry if you don't get them down in your notes. But here's the first one. You need to loosen your grip. The second one is tighten your belt. And the third one is give it away. Those are the three things that I want to focus on this morning in my message as I bring this to you about what does it mean to give in your life. And so let's dive in this morning. Loosen your grip. And I'm going to pull that from the verse out of Acts 4, verse 32. And it says, not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. They realized that everything that they had came from the hand of God. And that's it. The grace of God provides everything that we have. His providence cares for us. It provides for us. All those things come from the hand of God. And so I'm going to say at the first church, they had a loose grip. They lived like that. They were okay with that. Now, in case you're quick to think, well, they didn't have a lot in the first church. No, they didn't. They had very little. Way less than you and I probably have today in our lives. But they had a loose grip. Now, I didn't read to you the story of Ananias and Sapphira out of chapter 5. But if you go home today and you want to do some more reading, okay, what does it mean when we're not good givers? We're not loving givers and we don't love well and we hold back. You can read the story of Ananias and Sapphira and you'll see what happened to them. When they're questioned about it, they fell over dead. God took their life. They held back in their lives. And so here's the point I want to make with you this morning. We are not to make excuses to be like seagulls of mine, mine, mine in our lives. Because the truth is, none of it is ours. It never was. It's God's. And here's what I want you to think about in your life. You've been blessed. You are the bank that God has invested in. That's how he sees you and I. We are the bank that we've invested in. And here's how he's going to measure what he's blessed you with in your life. His measurement for that good return is how well we love others with what we have. Notice that has nothing to do with how much you have. How well do you love others with what you have? That's his measuring stick. So I'm going to encourage you today, loosen your grip. It's not yours. Now, the first church, let's talk about that just briefly. They demonstrated their love by giving to the corporate entity called the church. They didn't. So I want you to make sure that you understand this morning when you realize these verses, that you understand what's going on here in their giving. Let me re-clarify this so you didn't. I think I might have said this wrong to you here, so I want to do this again. The first church didn't demonstrate their love by giving to the corporate entity, the church, such as First Reformed Church of Inwood, Iowa. They loved by sharing with one another, by giving to that personal entity called the church, the people. If I could explain it to you in layman's terms, what they did is they passed the collection plate, took the offering, and they set it at the back of church, and they said, church, if you have need this week, and they probably placed an apostle back there, like it said, as they helped distribute, you stop on your way out, and you take what you need for the week. So you got your electric bill and you're short of funds and things are tight. And as you're walking out and you grab one of the deacons that's by the plate and you say, I need $134.10 this week to pay my electric bill. And the deacon paid it out. Your needs are taken care of. That's probably what it looked like. People were honest. People had need. People gave. They shared what they had from week to week to week. Now, of course, today we have deacons and we take offering and we distribute those needs to our church and we do a pretty good job. Are we perfect? No. But we take care of each other with our needs in our church here this morning. But here's the issue that I want you to get. And when I say it's not about giving, this is the key that you need to understand as a believer in Jesus Christ. And here it comes. And I wanted to hit you like that this morning. The issue is, if we don't know our people well enough, we can't see the need. I think that's more of our problem today. Because if we take an offering and we know there's a need, you guys pour it out. Giving has been good in this church. But I'm not sure if we're good enough to know when there's the need. And that's what I want to bring home this morning in our lives. And I'm not saying that you're going to know everybody's needs to that level. And so when I talked here a couple weeks ago, I talked about the fence? Shake your head if you can remember the sermon about the fence, right? We build fences and we keep each other out of our backyards and we don't allow people to come in. And I didn't say you got to know everybody, but I told you need to know what? A few people well. That's what you need to know. And you need to know people well enough that when you can see a need, that you can help in those situations. You got to live life together. That's what's important. Because we are to take care of each other financially, physically, and emotionally. We're to pray for each other. We're to walk with each other through hard, difficult times when things arise. That was the early church. Here's the second point I want to bring to you this morning. Tighten your belt. Here's the simple point. Make room in your budget to be able to be ready to help somebody that might be in need. And if I could even go even deeper this morning, I'm going to say that your budget is not always financial. It might be your resources. It might be your time. It might be a home. Who knows, right? And I think you need to think like that in those terms. And I'm going to go back and use some scripture here again. In your blue box this morning, Acts 4, verse 34 and 35, here's what it says. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them. Of course, it said from time to time, as scripture said, and bring what they had, and they'd bring the proceeds and the sales. And then they lay them at the apostles' feet, meaning that the apostles took care of it, and they made sure that the people in need had what they had. The early church, they didn't store up for a rainy day. They weren't even hanging on to their personal property. Now, hold on, because some of you I can see go, ooh, right? Because everything I've been taught, you got to put money away, and you got to be prepared for this and that. But here's what I want you to think about. I'm not proposing that we sell everything we have and we all move into the fellowship hall and we live life together. That's not what I'm trying to teach you this morning. When it comes to tightening your belt, this is what I want you to think about in your life. This is probably going to hit a little harder this morning. I'm simply suggesting that if your lifestyle, mine included, keep us from being generous with the people around us, we've got a problem, church. Ugh. I don't like to hear that. If you're so busy that you're at the lake home and you don't have time to take care of church people, what needs to happen? If you're so busy buying new possessions that you don't have nothing to give to the church, what needs to change? Do you see how I'm getting at? Because what I'm really speaking to you this morning is not how much money you have or how much you give. I'm looking at your heart before God. Because that's what the early church looked like. That's how they lived life. And I'm not saying that a new pickup, a new car, a lake home, none of that is bad. New carpet, redo your house. See, none of that is wrong. Those are blessings, and by my God, if God blesses you in those areas, do them. But if they consume everything you got and there's nothing left to take care of the people of the church, then you got a problem. That's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to be able to tighten our belt and our budgets and be able to give and take care of those that are in need. When you see a need. And you got to be living well enough with those around you that you can see those things. And you do not need to know everybody's need. But you need to know the needs of a few people that you live with in the church. That you have deep friendships with in the church or your community that you can see those things. So don't misunderstand me that you're not. I'm not saying, oh, God says we got to know everybody's need and we got to provide for everybody. No, no. God puts you in a group of maybe friends or people you know well in the church, and that's what he expects from you, to minister to those types of things. Now, if we take a corporate offering and we know of a family that's in need or whatever it might be, you know, by all means, pray and see what God, what do you want me to give? What am I going to do with this? It's our responsibility to know each other deeply enough to recognize the need. To look past the fence, to get into the backyard of people's lives. How many of you were at the Harvest Festival last night? There was quite a few people there. It was a good night. A little bit of wind, a few bugs, but overall, a very nice night. Thank you for coming out. So we've been intentional about creating, I'll call them events, for you to gather. And if you didn't make this one, that's fine. There are going to be other opportunities coming. But the idea is to get people together to create community and people can socialize and get to know one another. And what I just love last night, we're talking to people and people are out there and people are like, well, who's that person? I've never seen them before. How long have they been coming to church? Oh, for about a year and a half now. Really? Yeah. Right? See, all intended to help people to get to know each other. All intended to build community. All intended to tear down fences. And all we're doing is inviting you to come and hang out. Enjoy the night. Talk with your neighbors. Because you don't do much of that anymore. So as a church, we've kind of got our focus on how can we create more of this? To bring people together, especially now that we're moving to two services. Because sometimes you don't even know who's in the second service, and the second service doesn't know who's in the first service. But yet when we can come together, we can have conversations, and people see each other, and they start to realize, oh, yeah, they go to church there, da-da-da-da. Building community. Getting to know people well enough that you can give well in your life to those around you. Here's the last one I want to share with you this morning. So, you've loosened your grip. You've tightened your belt so you can be prepared to give, right? And here's the most important thing now. Now you need to give it away. And be blessed when you do that. The first church, they took care of each other. I think that this church does. And we're not perfect. Some of you go, I think we could do better. But I think we do a pretty good job of taking care of each other here and the needs of the church. Sometimes you don't always know the need because there's still fences out there. And I just pray that you tear the fences down so you let people in so we can see the need to share. But I think our deacons do a good job of meeting those needs with the resources that we have. But do you know your church, your people well enough that you can love like that? To give it away. And what is the result of the generosity from Scripture that when they give it away in the church? Because the community recognized this. Like, what is going on at that church? And notice what Scripture, let me just read this to you for a moment. The apostles were giving testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ because they said, you know what? This is what happened. He rose from the grave. He came back to life. We talked to him. We seen him. He forgave us our sins, and we get eternal life with him. That's the story they shared. And they shared all their resources and their giving. And then this is the most important part. I just love it. And abundant grace was upon them. Sorry, I forgot the W in that sentence. Abundant grace was upon them. They were so blessed by their giving. Their hearts were probably filled with joy. They loved each other well. Abundant joy. You want to experience abundant joy? How many of you want to experience abundant joy in my Christian walk? Right? We all do. Give. Give of yourself. Give of your time. Give of your resources to those in need. And guess what? If you come to me after church and say, Rob, I want to do this, tell me who's in need. I'm going to say, I'm not sure who all's on need. You're going to have to go find out. You're going to have to start getting into people's lives and figuring out what their needs are. Because I don't know them all. There's no way that you'll know them all either. But together, we'll know them all. Together. The joy of Christ was shared. You know, this wasn't a service project. It wasn't a homeless shelter. It was one another. The testimony was present because they loved one another. Now, I've preached to you over and over and over about getting outside the walls, right? Letting people know in the community of who we are, inviting them to church. Share with those around you, talk to your neighbor, do all those types of things, right? And why is it now that this passage seems to be saying, no, don't do that, take care of each other? Do we get it wrong? No. I think it's simply illustrating this to you and I in the church today. In our passion, in our fervor to reach beyond the walls, we can never forget those inside the walls that we live with from week to week or even day to day. Don't forget about the people in the walls, in the church, as well as those on the outside. So now that I've jogged your memory today, I hope that I did. I could challenge you a little bit. You know, what are you keeping? What are you passing on? In your box. Maybe you recognize the situation after hearing me this morning, and God is calling you to help in some way. And maybe you don't know of a situation yet. Pray about one, because they're out there. They're out there. So here's kind of how I want to wrap this up this morning. We must be a loving church, and we must love enough that people that we see those needs. And then, like the first church, you must be willing to loosen your grip, tighten your belt, and be ready to give it away. To see the need and go after it. To share the joy and the generosity that God's given you. And here's something I want to share with you this morning, the bottom of the screen in the blue box. Sacrificing and meeting the needs of others is how we love the church well. That's what it looks like. Now, I want to be honest with you this morning. Most of you are sitting out there looking at me this morning like, what are you asking of me? I see frowns. That's a hard message to hear. But that's the church, people. And I'm going to tell you, the world needs to hear this. And more importantly, they need to see you in action. Because that's how people come to Christ. That's the church. That's what God calls us to be. Pick up your cross and follow him. It's not always going to be easy, but I guarantee you, you will be blessed greatly. And all of God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, not an easy verse to hear this morning. It's challenging to us in our lives. Lord, you expect us to give in so many ways. And it's putting down our own life and picking up our cross and following you. That's what you ask of us, Lord. May each one of us do that today as we hear this message. it's way more than money. Lord, it's a lifestyle that you call us to and how you expect us to live. So may you help us through that. May you give us understanding in our own lives of where we're at, because we're all in different places. And Lord, you just call us to just move one step closer to you again today and how you want us to live our lives. Help us to do that. And so we know through the Holy Spirit, and here's my prayer this morning as well. May we be willing in our lives to do that. Pray this all in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.